Joyce.
So this month we have been asking, what is the church? And looking at some of the images the Bible gives us as an answer to that question. This week, the letter to Ephesians describes us as a kind of living stones that together form the temple of the Holy Spirit. Joyce shared a reading from the Message, and we're going to be looking at these verses verse by verse. But I wanted to give you a little bit of background about the church in Ephesus. Paul was writing this letter to a church that was made up of both Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, mainly Gentiles. And so he was reminding all of them that in Christ they were one. For the Gentiles, it was a reminder that they were no longer strangers or second-class citizens. They were fully part of God's people. It was a reminder to the Jewish believers to treat them that way, that together they were being built into something beautiful. Let's dig into this scripture together. Ephesians 2:20 says, As God's household, you are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. I don't know a whole lot about construction. I've learned a few things on mission trips over the years, but I'm not always sure that on those trips we are doing things precisely the way the skilled construction worker would do. I do know, however, that any building is only as strong as its foundation. What a structure stands on makes all the difference in its durability, which is why our own church building has developed some interesting cracks and crevices over the years because of the swampy ground beneath us, right? There are other examples, too, of the importance of foundations. In 1173, the foundation was laid for a beautiful tower in an Italian town. It took over 800 years to construct this tower. Unfortunately, the builders didn't take into account the instability of the clay on which they were building. And so as the third of the eight levels was added, the tower began to shift, which is why we know it today as the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It leans about 16 feet at its furthest point off of its foundations. Foundations matter. In our passage today, we're told that our foundation, the foundation of the church, is the apostles and the prophets. This refers to those who proclaimed God's word and spread the good news of Christ. Our faith isn't an invention of our own. Men and women of years gone by have laid a very firm base for us. We have their words and their works recorded in scripture and in history. This is why it's so important that we read our Bibles and that we pay attention to the history of the church. If we're to build on that foundation, we must rely on the firm footing they gave us. We are also called to be apostolic and prophetic, to be ambassadors of reconciliation, so that none are strangers and aliens, but all are one in Christ. Our foundation matters. However, there's an even more important component to building that is described in this verse. It echoes the prophet Isaiah, who spoke for God, saying, "Look, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a valuable cornerstone, a sure foundation. The one who trusts won't tremble. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line." And the psalmist who sang, "The stone rejected by the builders is now the main foundation stone." Our cornerstone is Jesus. This is another one of those building things that I didn't really know, so I did a little bit of a deep dive into ancient construction practices this week. And actually, a lot of these practices are still used today. So the cornerstone is the first stone laid. It sets the pattern for all the rest. In biblical times, it was possible from the dimensions of the cornerstone, which is literally a cornerstone, makes a corner, to determine the shape, size, and orientation of the entire building from that one stone. If Jesus is the cornerstone of the church, that means that how we interpret Scripture, how we respond to God, how we treat others, really everything we do must be patterned on Jesus Christ. Some of you may remember in the 1990s, how many of you wore a bracelet back then that said WWJD or had a shirt or something else? I did. It was a big youth group thing then, y'all. And in college, our BSU, Baptist Student Union. So WWJD stood for What Would Jesus Do? Was the question we were supposed to be asking ourselves. And while that may have become a commercialized phrase that was used in some pretty trite ways eventually, the sentiment is important. Jesus is our cornerstone, our guide, our support. When we are unsure of which way to turn, what to do or say, whether our feelings are guiding us in a good direction, asking ourselves how Jesus would act is a good principle. We must model ourselves on Jesus. After all, as Christians, we are literally claiming to be little Christs. That's what the word means. It's important also, though, to note that this being built up into the temple of the Spirit isn't a static project. We don't do it once and then we're done. One in which we or the church are ever completed projects. And it's also not an individual pursuit. That's what the next few verses are telling us. Ephesians 2:21 says, "The whole building is joined together in him, and it grows up into a temple that is dedicated to the Lord." Together, all followers of Christ are being joined into a temple. So the skilled laborers who built the temple in Jerusalem carefully fitted each stone together according to the design that was set by the cornerstone. One missing stone or one joint placed askew would ruin the integrity of the building. To be the temple, we must be joined together in God's design, which seeks reconciliation and unity where there is conflict. God has designed each of us to fit together. And our sin means that we are constantly needing to be reshaped, being refitted and rejoined into God's household. Being shaped and joined together with others can be painful. But as living stones, we are called to submit ourselves to God's work in our lives. Unless we give some of ourselves up, our pride, our need to be right, there will be no unity, and we won't be able to be shaped into the church and the people God is calling us to be. This verse also reminds us that along with union, there is growth. We are being built. That's the tense that is used there. We are being built or growing into a temple for God. It's a never-ending construction project. Aren't most of them, it seems like, anyway. New living stones are always being added. Whether there are people, wherever there are people who have received God's grace through faith, they are meant to be connected deeply to each other, like bricks in a building. So that this will happen, not just in principle, but in real life, Jesus is at work among us, building us into God's temple or dwelling place. The word that is used for temple here in the Greek isn't the general term for the larger building. Instead, it's the word that was used for the Holy of Holies, the inner shrine, the special meeting place between God and God's people. It's where God's presence and glory were visibly manifested. And when Christ came, he became the Word made flesh and dwelt among humans, the divine dwelling among us. Today, we as individuals and the church as a whole are the dwelling place of God through the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:22 says, Christ is building you into a place where God lives through the Spirit. We know that each of us, as Jesus followers, are the temple of God because the Holy Spirit lives in us. But this you in this scripture is plural. We are also God's temple collectively. The church's potential as a dwelling place for God depends on community, on being joined together. Just as the church in Ephesus was being reminded that deeply ingrained divisions between Jews and Gentiles were no longer to be accepted in the church today must stand for the overcoming of divisions caused by tradition, class, color, politics. We must find in our communion a holy strength that we cannot have alone. We get and we give strength from one another, from such closeness together. The presence of Christ within and among us is what creates Christian community. It's what makes us the church. We are more than a collection of individuals like a society or club or fraternity. We are more than an organization that shares a common mission, like a business or a choir or a charity. We are more than an institution that is created to perform some noble function, like a university or a hospital or a government. We are the dwelling place of God, the sanctuary where Christ is present, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are a human community, but we are a human community indwelt by the divine. What makes the church more and different and unique from all other human agencies is that the church is the personal, transcendent, powerful presence of the living Christ dwells. We share responsibility as the church to live in the world in such a way that God is truly and obviously present. We're to do this individually and corporately, in our private lives and our public lives, in our families, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods and schools, and in our church. Ask yourself, if people want to find God's dwelling place on earth, would they think of me? Would they think of my church? If we rely on the foundation of those who came before us, supported by and following the pattern of Christ, we can be the church we are called to be, the living stones who are always being built into the temple of the Holy Spirit where God dwells. May it be so. Amen.